With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This clip is taken from episode 38 of the Former Action Guys podcast with Nate Garns. Support the show on patreon.com by looking up Former Action Guys. Make sure to subscribe and share with a friend.
So you guys pushed out to Ramadi, and you said what year?
Yeah, 2007, March 2007, we went to Ramadi, and we were in support of Task Force 177, which was a composition of 1st AD, 1st ID, so it's 1st Armored Division, 1st Infantry Division, Army guys. So Anglico, typically, I'm sure especially your listeners know, but Anglico traditionally supports non-Marine Corps elements with Marine Corps fire support, and usually non-U.S. members, but we were actually supporting the Army. And it wasn't just us. We had Air Force TACP guys who were supporting that brigade platoon as well. Yeah, but we went there in 2007. It wasn't crazy. 2006 in Ramadi was, you know, that was the Wild West.
Yeah, that's what you always hear about is 2006 time frame.
Yeah, 2000, and that's when Huerta was there. But, you know, 2007, the city itself was pretty well, because that was after the Awakening and after, I can't remember the Sheik's name now. The main guy who, like, turned it around. We had a tank in front of his place and shit. Anyways, he kind of turned the tide and got the tries with the, you know, with the coalition forces. But we did have some resistance down south. And we had we had the Battle of Donkey Island is what they called it. But it was there was trying to be a resurgence of I don't even know what kind of forces to call them, but enemy forces from the south of Ramadi were trying to reestablish themselves as a presence in the south of Ramadi. And they had actually had tractor trailers, like 40-foot tractor trailers, and they were pulling their supplies through. It was dirt roads, and it called like dirt, like not even good dirt roads, like. You should not be pulling a tractor trailer. So the Army shows up. They were just doing a mounted just presence patrol through the area, and they're looking through their MBGs, and they're going, you know, you can only imagine, you know, you've been doing this patrol every day for this is just a regular thing that you do at night, and you never see anything crazy. And then all of a sudden you're driving through the middle of nowhere, and you're looking through your MBGs, and you're fairly certain you're seeing a tractor trailer pulling through, you know, south of Ramadi, and you're like, what the hell is going on? So they, you know, they stop, they call a halt, they pull the forces forward to see, try to get an idea of what's going on. And the back doors opened up from the tractor trailers, and then dudes just started pouring out of the back of the tractor trailer with Yeah, and they're armed. And they, like, took up fighting positions and started to fire, like they're bringing the fight to them. And my FIC wasn't even out there at the time. We were back at the FOB. So they engaged with them, broke contact, pulled back to the FOB. We went back in the daylight. My FIC leader went with an NSW team to go out. There was this island strip in the water that separated, it separated a 2-5's boundary from Task Force 177's boundary. And then there was an island in the center of the Al-Wazir Canal. So they were taking dinghies or these little inflatable rafts, you know, with the SEALs onto the island because they thought they were storing munitions on the island or storing whatever. Yeah. But this is, at the time, the personal radio that we were fond of was the PRC 148, the Prick 148, and it was garbage. At the time, it was garbage. So I was the only one that had comm with the aircraft that was in the overhead. I was back in my vehicle. My team leader was with the SEALs across on these dinghies on the little island, and we caught contact from the north. I don't know how severe it was. I think it was probably 3 points that we were receiving contact from with machine gun fire, but they had definitely, like, kind of watched us for a little bit, pull into where we were going. We'd kind of gotten complacent. We're like, okay, last night this was a big fight, but, you know, now it's over, and we're just kind of doing a little sensitive site exploitation. Nothing's going to happen. and they actually, you know, brought a little smoke. So we returned fire. Some of our dismounts, we caught two casualties right away, Army guys, Sergeant First Class and a corporal, tried to draw them back. And we had F-18s in the overhead. So I was a corporal at the time. This is my first deployment. I'm getting shot at. I'm manning a freaking crew served. I'm trying to kind of just figure out what's going on. And at the same time, I have an aircraft in the overhead. So I know that I can bring, you know, force to bear on the firefight. But I just really don't know how to. I'm kind of stuck.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm just trying to fight the 6 inches that are in front of my face. And luckily, my air officer, my Major Elfers, he was listening in on the TAD net, and he instructed the F-18s to do a show of force. So they brought it down fucking low, man. It was so low. I was scared. And so they were, in reality, they were probably maybe 150 feet off the deck when they screamed over top of us. And so that just shut the enemy down right away. There was no more fire coming at us, and we were able to pull back our wounded. We evacuated them. I called in a medevac 9 line, got those guys out of there. And then the Army guys did a foot clearance of that area that we'd just been attacked from. By that time, they had punched out. They even like dropped a 500-pound bomb after that. I was like, what are you dropping a bomb on? There's nobody there anymore. This is like 6 hours after the firefight. They wanted, just because, you know,
they're control in.
Exactly. It's like, this is my chance. This is my chance to get a drop. And it wasn't even not my team chief, or my team leader, but yeah, that's the mentality, I guess.
Yeah. But, damn, dude, that's a good baptism by fire there, huh?
Dude, it's funny because, 5th Anglico CO had come down to Ramadi from, Al Asad just to kind of do just happened to be when he was doing his rounds, you know, checking on the salts and whatever. But we pulled back into Ramadi, back into the FOB that we shared, or the little berthing area that we shared with EOD. And there was a couple other units. It was the dog guys, the working dog, military working dog guys.
Yeah.
But they were all like standing up, like clapping and shit, like, congratulations. I'm like, I don't know what happened. Thank you. You're welcome for my service.
If you enjoyed this Former Action Guys podcast clip, make sure to subscribe on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and support the show on Patreon.com by looking up Former Action Guys.